Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the MedBullets Step 1 podcast. In today's episode, we cover the topic of the submucosal nerve plexus found under the GI section at medbullets.com. The submucosal nerve plexus, also known as Meissner's plexus, lies in the submucosa, which is between the muscularis mucosa of the mucosal epithelium and the inner layer of circularly oriented smooth muscle of the muscularis externa. The submucosal nerve plexus regulates GI secretions, blood flow, and absorption. Remember, submucosal regulates secretions. It also receives input from sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous systems. Now that we've discussed the major points relating to the submucosal nerve plexus, let's walk through a question to apply what we've learned and get a sense of how the topic might be tested. For this question, consider the following clinical scenario. A 2-year-old boy is brought into his pediatrician for a routine checkup. The parents mention that the child has been developing appropriately, although they have been noticing that the child appears to have chronic constipation. The parents report that their child does not routinely have daily bowel movements, and they have noticed that his abdomen has become more distended recently. In the past, they report that the patient was also delayed in passing meconium, but this was not further worked up. On exam, his temperature is 98.6 Fahrenheit, blood pressure is 110 over 68, pulse is 74 per minute, and respirations are 14 per minute. The patient is noted to have a slightly distended abdomen that is non-tender. Eventually, this patient undergoes a biopsy. Which of the following layers most likely reveals the causative pathological finding of this disease? Choice 1, lamina propria. Choice 2, muscularis mucosa. Choice 3, neural crest layer. Choice 4, outer longitudinal layer of muscularis. Choice 5, submucosa. The correct answer is choice 5, submucosa. Chronic constipation in an infant with delayed meconium can be a delayed presentation of Hirschsprung disease, which is characterized by a lack of nervous plexuses in either the submucosa or the muscularis layer. Although Hirschsprung disease is most classically characterized by a patient who fails to pass meconium, there can also be delayed presentations with chronic constipation. This later presentation can be considered less severe than Hirschsprung disease, which is found on the first day of life with delayed passage of meconium. However, this later presentation can also make the diagnosis more difficult. Hirschsprung disease is due to a congenital absence of either ganglionic cells or enteric nervous plexuses, which are found in two layers of the bowels, the myenteric nerve plexus in the muscularis layer and the submucosal nerve plexus in the submucosal layer. Embryonically, this absence is due to a failure in neural crest cell migration. Since the disease involves the rectum, a rectal biopsy is used for diagnosis. Let's also discuss why the other choices are incorrect. Choice 1, the lamina propria is a component of the mucosa layer, directly below the luminal epithelium. Clinically, the lamina propria marks the layer at which invasion from a GI tumor could enter the lymphatics. Choice 2, the muscularis mucosa is in the mucosa layer, directly under the epithelium and the lamina propria. These three layers comprise the mucous membrane. It is not to be confused with the muscularis layer of the GI tract. Choice 3. The neural crest layer is not a layer found in a developed GI tract. However, the neural crest cells are responsible embryologically for the development of this disease. Choice 4. The outer longitudinal layer of the muscularis is adjacent to the myenteric nerve plexus, but is not the cause of Hirschsprung disease. The outer longitudinal and the inner circular layers of the muscularis are responsible for peristalsis. Finally, a bullet summary. Hirschsprung disease results from abnormal development of the Meissner plexus in the submucosa or the Auerbach plexus in the muscularis due to a failure in neural crest cell migration. That's all for this review about the submucosal nerve plexus. We hope that was helpful. This is the MedBullets Step 1 podcast, a daily audio review session from MedBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for medical student education. As a reminder, you can follow along with these podcast episodes by reviewing the topics directly on medbullets.com. You can listen to these episodes on the MedBullets website or phone app while reading through the topic. If the MedBullets podcast has been valuable to you, we would be thrilled if you would consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all tomorrow right here on the MedBullets Step 1 podcast.